All right, our next speaker is Sarah Wood. Sarah is working with Dr. White at Louisiana State University.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I'm Sarah, and I work in the Wetland and Aquatic Biogeochemistry Laboratory, or the WABLE, at LSU. And I'm going to be discussing microbial processes in comparison of restored and natural coastal wetlands, specifically their controls on carbon sequestration and primary productivity. Okay, so a quick overview. I'm going to touch on the wetland ecosystem services, discuss a little about carbon sequestration and accumulation in these wetlands, highlight Louisiana wetland loss, describe some restoration types that we do in coastal Louisiana, describe my research and methodology, and then finish with my results and conclusions. So wetlands provide very valuable habitats. This is a big industry in Louisiana. They have they support lots of different high biodiversity with wildlife species and fisheries. They improve water quality. They protect us in flood zones. They have a high primary productivity and carbon sequestration. So, wetlands are important reservoirs for carbon. Here we can see just a little schematic diagram. I actually took it from Dr. Reddy and Dr. DeLon's textbook and just colored it. So there's a predominance of anaerobic conditions in these wetlands. And due to these conditions, carbon is sequestered because detritus has a slow decomposition. And so as this decomposition is slowed, the carbon is buried farther and farther down and stored for a long time. So how much carbon are we talking about? So previous research has found from Hatton et al. That up to 298 grams per meter squared per year can be accumulated in fresh marsh, and 329 grams per meter squared per year can be accumulated in a saline marsh. So, what is the problem in Louisiana? Well, Louisiana contains 40% of the counterminous state's coastal and estuarine wetlands, but due to many natural and anthropogenic causes, such as coastal subsidence, sea level rise, coastal erosion, we are losing our wetlands at a rate of about a football field per hour. So just to illustrate this, here we have a map of our coastline from 1932, and here is the land in 2010. So since the 1930s, we have lost about 4,800 kilometers squared. And if we don't do anything about this, we have the potential to lose more than 4,500 square kilometers by 2050. So what can we do about this? So there are many types of coastal restoration. The four main ones in Louisiana is marsh creation, marsh enhancement, sediment diversions, and hydrologic restorations. And the site that I'm going to be focused on is a created marsh. So this leads me into my research question. So what I wanted to know was, how different are these microbial processes involved in carbon cycling between created wetlands and these natural wetlands? So here on the left is a picture that I took at our created site. And on the right is a natural site. And when I say natural, there are no known human impacts to this wetland. And so looking from the outside, you can see that our created site does have vegetation. It does. When we were walking around, we saw crabs, we saw snakes, there were alligator nests around, and so it is providing these habitats for these species. But what we want to know is, how well is the microbial process in the soil? So here's my site. We have New Orleans right here in the top part, and then this is the Mississippi River coming down, and that's the Bird's Foot Delta. And my site is actually located just west of the Mississippi River. It's on the southeast border of Lake Judge Perez, or it's also Lake Hermitage now. So Dr. White introduced Louisiana Oil Spills Coordinator's Office, and that is this is actually one of their sites from a mitigation process for a few oil spills that occurred. So what they did was sediment was hydraulically dredged from the Mississippi River and then pumped for 2 months into these five different fill areas that we see highlighted in yellow. About 29 hectares of marsh was created. And after the sediment had settled some, they went through and planted Spartina alterniflora and Spartina patens, which are common grass species in the Gulf of Mexico. So this picture was actually taken before the restoration, and then here we have a picture that was taken after the material had been placed. And so we can see that it's a very, very white beach type sand placed here. So. So we took 24, we chose 24 sampling locations. 8 were in fill area 1, which is off to the west over here, and then 8 were in fill area 4. We kind of wanted to be distributed throughout the fill areas to get a good idea of these processes between them. And then 8 were actually, there's a canal right here, and our natural site was across the canal from our fill areas. And so we went out there and took the top 10 centimeters by push core, and that gave us our total of 24 cores. And this bottom picture is a picture of our coring that we were doing. So for each sample, I looked at physical, chemical, and microbial characteristics. I measured moisture content, bulk density, total carbon, total nitrogen, and total phosphorus. And then microbially, I did microbial biomass, carbon, and nitrogen to give us an idea of the microbial pool size that was in these soils. I looked at potentially mineralizable nitrogen, beta-glucosidase enzyme activity, which is kind of the last step. These microbes release this extracellular enzyme that is kind of the last step of the degradation of organic matter, and then soil oxygen demand. My data analysis, I used a single factor one-way ANOVA, and then significant differences were denoted with a p-value of less than 0.05. I did compare my restored sites to each other before comparing them to the control to make sure there were no significant differences between them. So what I found was that in each soil characteristic, they were significantly different. The created site was significantly different than the natural site. And actually, in each characteristics besides bulk density, it was less than 50% of the natural. The bulk density is higher here because these created sites were a sandy material, and so they were very heavy compared to our organic natural sites. And then microbially wise, I found that they were also significantly lower in the created site than that of the natural, and in fact, they were all underneath 15% of my natural site. So what I really wanted to focus on here was these processes linked to carbon cycling. And so here is a table for my enzyme activity, total carbon, and soil oxygen demand. And the blue is my natural site, and it's at 100% because we want these created sites to become closer and closer to the natural sites. And so here we saw that enzyme activity was actually 90% lower in the restored sites than those of the natural. And total carbon was 85% lower, and soil oxygen demand was 89% lower also. And then for potentially mineralizable nitrogen, it was only 3% of our natural site. So what does this mean? So with this lower carbon content in the created wetlands, it indicates a low carbon sequestration in these created sites. As well, our beta-glucosidase enzyme activity in the created site signifies that there are lower rates of carbon cycling occurring in these sites. And then our soil oxygen demand was 9 times lower. And this indicates a low carbon sequestration potential. And I wanted to focus a little bit on primary productivity as well. And with these low potentially mineralizable nitrogen rates, they were 27 times lower in the created marsh, which indicates a lower ammonia production, also leading to for us to believe that it lowers primary productivity potential. So our goal for these created sites was to return these associated functions and values to those of a natural marsh. Well, we saw that the created sites were significantly different in each measured soil, physical, chemical, and microbial characteristics. And so this information is important for us because most of our wetlands are going to be some type of restoration. And so this is valuable in predicting the trajectories for these restored wetland functions and approximately how long they could potentially take to reach the functions of a natural wetland. So back to these pictures. So although the created site looks like a healthy young wetland, it is indeed very, very immature and juvenile compared to that of our natural site. Now, take in mind, whenever I did take my samples, this site was only 2 years old. So we will plan on going back and creating a better trajectory as the years go on. So I would like to thank LOSCO, the Louisiana Oil Spill Coordinator's Office, and CPRA for helping me out. They were very good with the airboats. So the Coy Pugh Foundation for funding, and my great lab group for all their assistance. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir.
I was wondering if when you were looking at your scores, you just explained these are only 2 years old, but were you able to see any morphological development of age horizons in the upper part of that were enriched in carbon, might actually have a higher carbon content than your bulk analysis?
In the created sites?
Yes, created.
So the created sites, not much yet. They were very homogeneous in the standing material. So, but you did see that in the natural site, of course. So. Yes, ma'am.
Your primary productivity data that you collected, what were the differences in the two marshes? The amounts of primary productivity.
So, okay. Let me go back to my slide real quick. So here we have the potentially mineralized. I used potentially mineralizable nitrogen to judge that. And my created site had the average about 2 milligrams of nitrogen per kilogram of my dry soil. And then my natural site was averaging 57 milligrams of nitrogen each. And so I liked putting it into a percent of the natural to look at that.
One more. Yeah, just curious about the comparison between the mineral soil and basically the organic soil. If you had a different project, let's say, just looking to see if your restored wetland was restored successfully, compared to a reference, would you have picked this natural site as your reference, or would you have picked a mineral soil in a wetland as reference?
Well, we want to go with the natural sites. We want to go with the natural sites because we do want these created sites and these mineral sites to become and have the same valuable functions as a natural site. And that's why we chose to compare it to a natural site that was actually down in that bay.
Okay, how long do you think it's going to take to get back to a natural site?
Oh,
100 years?
It could be 50 to 100 years, depending on the location of the created site. This one was very young and only 2 years old, and most of the functions are physical and chemical are below 50% right now, and then microbial-wise are below 15%, and that's after 2 years. So it could take a while. And we'll understand better, especially in this location, in the future, as we go out and sample more, we'll get a better idea of this trajectory for these created sites.
All right, thank you.